కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం వాదాలయేషమనిషం హృది భావయామి. అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయా చక్షురున్మిళితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాదిం స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురుం శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాదం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం. సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణా చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. నమావోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంతస్వామిన్ ఇది నామినీ. నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవం గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణీ నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణీ. శ్రీ గురుచరణాభ్యాం నమః. నమావోం విష్ణుపదాయాం కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తిసిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీ ఇది నామినే. శ్రీవర్షభానవీదేవి దయితాయా కృపాబ్దయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయిదే ప్రభవే నమాం. మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాగ్ని శ్రీరూపానుగభక్తిద శ్రీగౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే. నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీ మూర్తయే దీనతారిణి రూపనూగ విరుద్ధాప సిద్ధాంతద్వంద్వహారిణి. నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలం వరసాంబోధే పదాంబుజాయతే నమః. నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామిని గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపనూగవరాయదే. గౌరావిర్భవ భూమేస్త్వం నిర్దోషా సజ్జనప్రియ వైష్ణవా సార్వభౌమశ్రీ జగన్నాథాయదే నమః. వాంజగల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధూభ్యైవ చ పదితానం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణచైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్వశే నమః. పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తిరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామిం భక్తసాత్వికం. హే కృష్ణ కరుణాసింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపీశ గోపికా కాంధ రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే. జయదం సురదౌపాంగో మమం మందమతేర్మది మల్సర్వస్య పదాంబోజౌ రాధా మదనమోహనౌ. దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాదౌ శ్రీమన్రత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీ శ్రీరాధా శ్రీల గోవిందదేవౌ ప్రేష్టాలిభి సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి. శ్రీమన్రాసరసారంభి వంశీ వటతటస్థిత కర్షన్ వేణుస్వనేర్గోపేర్ గోపినాథాశ్రయేస్తునాం. తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుదే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరే ప్రియే. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్యం ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృందం. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ തൊന്മയാദ്യുതരതശ്ചാർത്ഥേഷു അഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൽത്തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മ ഹൃദയ ആദികവയെ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയാം തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോം യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാധാം സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹീ ധർമ്മപ്രോജിതകൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്രം വസ്തുശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമൽഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവസയുതം പിപത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസിക ഭുവി ഭാവുകാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയിൽ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതം അപേതകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയാ തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മിം യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷദം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിനാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാം യാസം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ശ്രീ ഗോപി ചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമാം കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുണിതാതൃദാനനിന്ദോഹ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേർമധുരിം കണികാഭി കാപികാഭീ നമ്രാണം സന്നിധത്തേ സദദം അപിപുരാന്തൈരനഭ്യർത്ഥിദാനപ്യർത്ഥാൻ കാമാൻ അജസ്രം വിതരതി പരമാനന്ദ സാന്ദ്രാം ഗതിം ച ഇത്ഥം നിശേഷലഭ്യോ നിരവധി കഫലപാരിജാതോ ഹരേ ത്വം ക്ഷുദ്രം തം ശക്രവാടിദ്രുമം അഭിലഷതി വ്യർത്ഥം അർത്ഥിവ്രജോയം So, I was thinking that we will today look at Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 8. And there were two very important prayers in the first canto, particularly from Kunti Devi and the other from Bhishma Pitamaha. These two prayers, Vedavyasa Maharshi put that in the first canto for certain reasons. That both these great devotees of the Lord, they had spent their long time in this world when Krishna was present here. And not only that, both Kunti Devi and Bhishma Pitamaha, both of them had a very special relationship with Krishna. If you remember, you will see in the 10th canto, there was an incident when Kunti Devi first saw Krishna in Vrindavan. That was the day when Mother Yashoda tied Krishna to the mortar after for stealing the butter, and when all the gopis complained to Krishna that Krishna has committed this great offense, and in relationship with that, Kunti Devi took a very severe action against Krishna, tied Krishna to the mortar, and Krishna was standing there eating the butter and enjoying the punishment what was given to him. So that morning, when this incident happened, when this incident happened, Nanda Maharaj went to when that incident happened, Nanda Maharaj that morning woke up very early and he went to perform one of the Indrayagas, which is not exactly the same Indrayaga which happened later, but they were preparing for another Indrayaga. It was quite common in them days by the community there in Vrindavana that they wanted to please Indra all the time, because they felt that Indra provided everything for their maintenance in this world. So with that feeling, Nanda Maharaj went to the Indrayaga ceremony, preparing the pandal for the Indrayaga. And on that day, it also happened something more interesting in Krishna's home. Nobody was available for doing any service in Krishna's house, and it was only Mother Yashoda and Krishna who were there at that particular day. Krishna was actually sleeping, and Mother Yashoda thought that I'll prepare the butter, I'll churn the buttermilk and take the butter away and boil all the milk that was available and get herself ready before Krishna wake up. This was the plan in the mother's mind. Mother Yashoda, being advanced, a little bit advanced in age, she has Krishna when she was nearly 40 years old. And it was not an age when normally a woman will have a child, the first child. But somehow or the other, things happened in such a way. Nanda Maharaj was 44 and Yashoda Mai was 40, and they had this baby Krishna to look after. So because of the age and more maturity, and due to the extreme affection they had for Krishna, they were always willing to serve Krishna. Neither of them were in a mood to actually instruct Krishna. Nanda Maharaj particularly had such a feeling for Krishna that he will not say anything against Krishna's desire. This was a definite thing, that no matter what Krishna said, Nanda Maharaj will agree with that. This was his attitude. Anyway, Nanda Maharaj is gone for this, preparing the Pandal festival for the Indrayaga ceremony, or the sacrifice for Indra. And at the same time, Yashoda Mai woke up that day much earlier than usual, and she wanted to get all her work completed and prepare herself for looking after Krishna when he is awake. Krishna woke up a little earlier and didn't see anybody nearby, got a little angry and started acting in a little strange way, came down to see Yashoda Mai, and she was churning the buttermilk. And Krishna sat on Yashoda Mai's lap and sucked the milk from her breast for some time. And after that, in the meanwhile, the milk which was in the pot and it was being boiled in the kitchen, suddenly she had to attend to it. She got up and went away. And in that anger, Krishna got really upset with Yashoda Mai also and broke the pot. And that's a long story in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. This whole incident of the childhood pastimes is described very elaborately, and also by the other many, many great devotees. But we are only speaking about this to tell you that on that particular day, it was not a good start for Krishna altogether. So it was punished in the morning, and then later on he was chasing the monkeys, he was having fight with them, and he was giving as much trouble as he could to everybody on that day, and then he was tied on to the mortar. So in that situation, Kunti Devi came to see Krishna. That was the first day, it seems, that Kunti Devi visited Krishna in Vrindavana. And when Kunti Devi came that day, Kunti Devi also had accompanied by Shishupala's mother. Shishupala was also there with his mother, and he had four hands at the time of birth. Shishupala had four hands at the time of birth when he was, and with these four hands he came to see Krishna. And Kunti Devi's, Shishupala's mother was very much aware that Shishupala will have an enemy, will be born as in Vrindavana, and he is going to kill Shishupala. This was very much in her mind, because this information was available to her earlier through some other incidents. Anyway, when they arrived there, two of Shishupala's hands automatically fell off from there, and only two hands were left. When this incident happened, immediately Kunti Devi realized, Shishupala's mother realized actually, that Krishna will be killing Shishupala at a later date. So with all these incidents, and Kunti Devi was seeing Krishna that day, and this punished situation of Krishna stayed in Kunti Devi's mind for a very, very, very long time since then. That at that time itself, Kunti Devi was aware that Krishna is nobody else than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And once that feeling has gone into Kunti Devi's heart, she took that very, very seriously. And in the Bhagavadam, while analyzing this character, Kunti Devi, Vedavyasa Maharshi explains certain very, very interesting instructions to the human society to learn from Kunti Devi. She was not an ordinary personality. She was something very, very special for everybody. Namasye purusham tvadyam ishwaram pagrade param alakshyam sarvabhudanam andarabhiravastitam. Kunti Devi's prayers in the Bhagavadam begins with this verse. Namasye purusham tvadyam, the first person of this, the supreme person, I pay my obeisances to him. This is how Kunti Devi addressed Krishna. And after Kunti Devi left Vrindavana and went back to Hastinapur, this was the instance which when they were meeting again after a very long break, and Kunti Devi was very much aware that she was protected at several instances by Krishna, and Krishna has visited them few times, but and all these instances Kunti Devi paid her respects to Krishna, fully falling down on the floor as of, and paying obeisances to him. After all, we have to remember that Kunti Devi was actually Krishna's father's sister. In other words, she's an aunt to Krishna. That so in that way, the relationship, Krishna should have been paying respect to Kunti Devi. But on the other hand, Kunti Devi always paid respects to Krishna because of the special understanding Kunti Devi had. And Kunti Devi prayed to Krishna in all instances. And when they were in serious difficulties, and at one stage in her life, she also came to realize that she was such an advanced devotee that she could understand that all this attachment to different sides, either to Pandavas or to Kauravas or even to her own children, and not only that, even to the Vrishnis, which is Krishna's family, this was actually causing the problem of her suffering in this world. And this realization came to Kunti Devi. You will see in the Kunti Devi's prayers to Krishna, Kunti Devi says, Atha Vishvesha Vishwalman Vishwamurte Swakeshume. Atha Vishvesha Vishwalman. Kunti Devi saw Krishna as the controller of the universe all the time. That was the way she addressed Krishna in every instances. Atha Vishvesha Vishwalma Vishwamurte Swakeshume. And not only that he prayed to Krishna, she prayed to Krishna in such a way that somehow or the other, please break up my disattachment. Sneha Pashamimam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishum. That Kunti Devi analyzed herself, why I have been put into this situation. That when Krishna came to see her, Kunti Devi fell down and prayed to Krishna that I am offering my obeisances to you, fully realizing who you are, and please protect me. And there is a number of verses. There is about 26 verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Kunti Devi offered her most respectful prayers to Krishna. And in all these different verses, actually Kunti Devi was addressing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in addition to that, Kunti Devi quoted various instances where she was protected by Krishna through her difficult periods. And in the Bhagavatam, when this scene happened, Krishna was actually preparing himself to go to Dwaraka. As you remember, that Ashwatthama was killed. Ashwatthama was caught by Arjuna and brought before Draupadi, and the punishment was completed for Ashwatthama and sent away. And then again he sent the Brahmastra to punish Uttaradevi, in her womb. Uttaradevi's womb, Parikshit Maharaj was there. And his intention was to completely uproot the Pandavas from this planet. This was the intention behind it. Apandaveyam, Bhagavatam says that they wanted to make without any Pandavas in this world. But Krishna's desire was something different. Krishna wanted that Pandavas will live. And Krishna also wanted that he wanted to introduce Srimad Bhagavatam to this planet through Maharaj Parikshit. This was the plan in Krishna's mind. So accordingly, things will naturally happen according to Krishna's desire, that Krishna had to protect Maharaj Parikshit in the womb of Uttaradevi. Maharaj Parikshit was protected. And Maharaj Parikshit was protected at that point. Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagalpade Nanyam Twadhavayam Pashe Yatra Mrityo Parasparam. Uttaradevi's womb was burning inside. Krishna was walking away to Dwaraka. And he was just getting into the chariot. It was at that time she came out running from inside. Inside she came out running, and her stomach was burning inside because the baby was getting so hurt. It was not moving anymore. Parikshit Maharaj could not move anymore inside because it was already burned inside. Brahmastram, which was actually sent by Ashwathama, has already hit the person inside and it was almost finished. The life is gone. And it was at that point Uttaradevi came out running towards Krishna, explaining to him the situation. And the way he addressed Krishna was, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagalpati Nanyam Twadhavayam Pashye Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. Pahi Pahi Mahayogin, every one of them addressed Krishna as either Yogeshwara or Mahayogin. That means he is the controller of all the yogic power in this world. In the Bhagavad Gita also we find at the last verse, Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara Tatra Shreer Vijayo Bhodir Thuvo Nidir Madir Mamaha. That Yogeshwara is Krishna. There is nothing impossible for Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has the complete control of all the yogic powers in Him. There is not such a perfect yogi as Krishna is. So many people endeavor for perfection through the Ashtanga Yoga system of Patanjali. But nobody is in a position to reach that stage of Krishna because He is the creator of all the yogic processes. So therefore, Krishna was actually decided to protect Parikshit Maharaj. Nobody could prevent that. Krishna entered into the womb of Maharaj Parikshit. Not only he entered into the womb, with the wheel in the hand, this personality started moving inside the womb and Parikshit Maharaj could see this. And that is that personality when Parikshit Maharaj came out of the womb, started looking for. Because he has seen this personality inside the womb and he was looking for that personality outside when he came out. So when he came out, ever since he was examining, who is this personality who came inside to protect me? And that is how that name Parikshit Maharaj came to, the name Parikshit came to the Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj. So anyway, that incident happened and Krishna was preparing to go to Dwaraka, but Uttaradevi came down and started, with a crying voice, she started approaching Krishna for protection. Krishna protected Parikshit Maharaj and after that he was again going back to Dwaraka. So while climbing on the chariot, at that time Kunti Devi came down. And this time Kunti Devi approached Krishna and started this elegant prayers which is in the Srimad Bhagavatam known as Kunti Stuti. Kunti Stuti or glorification is the first of all the glorification in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The speciality of this prayer from Kunti Devi is that Kunti Devi's affection and relationship with Krishna, material relationship, did not affect their spiritual relationship. Kunti Devi was able to separate out the material relationship from her spiritual surrender to Krishna. Namaste purusham twadyam ishwaram pagrade param alakshyam sarvabhudanam andar bahiravastidam. That Kunti Devi saw Krishna within and without, outside and inside of every living entity. To that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kunti Devi prayed, paid her obeisances. Namaste purusham twadyam ishwaram pragrade param alakshyam sarvabhudanam andar bahiravastidam. Maya javaniga channam ajnya dokshajam avyayam nalakshase mudadrisho nado natidharo yathaha. Maya javaniga channam. Kunti Devi could see Maya very clearly, how Maya is covering everybody. Because the experiences she had in this world was a real experience that she could see that Maya is covering every living entity every moment. In fact, if we also see through the Kunti Devi's vision and realization, we can understand that Maya's powerful position in this world. Maya javaniga channam. Javaniga, it is a sort of a curtain that she has put in front of us. That curtain, Maya's curtain, is actually separating us from Krishna. It is the only thing that is separating us from Krishna. Our gross senses cannot see that curtain which is in front of us. But somehow or the other, our consciousness is broken up from Krishna because of this particular curtain in front of us. And that is why Kunti Devi addressed this. Maya javaniga channam ajnya dokshajam avyayam na lakshase mudhadrisho nato natyadharo yatham. Kunti Devi saw Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not only that, she said to Krishna that you came down to this world and you are acting here exactly like an ordinary human being. That was the way Krishna performed in this world. And when Kundi Devi could see that the Supreme Person is acting like an ordinary human being in this world, she had to say this to him. Nalakshase motadrisho. And you are fooling everybody in this world by your activities. Motadrisho nado natitharo yatha. Just like in the stage, when we have a drama or something, or a play, somebody dresses up in a particular dress and comes there. And he or she acts in a particular way. And when we see that, we mistake it as it is a something different person. But if you know the person who it is, that confusion goes away. But in this particular situation, Krishna has not revealed his true nature to everybody. But Kunti Devi could understand from the words of Vedavyasa Maharshi and from the other great sages, because she was a great personality, that she knew that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who was coming in this world dressed in the form of a human being. Avajanandi mamudha manushim tanumashadam parambhava majanando mamabhoda maheshwaram. Krishna also says that it is very, very difficult for ordinary persons to understand who Krishna is. What is his position is, we ordinarily mistake him as an ordinary person and we start taking everything relationship with Krishna as a normal human beings. But it is not so. That is why, Maya Javiniga Chanyam Ajnathokshajam Avyayam Nalakshase Modhadrisho Nado Natidharo Yatha. That Bhagavatam says that this particular Maya's curtain in front of us, which is separating us from Krishna, is very, very difficult also to overcome. Because when Vedavyasa Maharshi started writing Srimad Bhagavatam, actually Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he looked at Krishna and when he started meditating on Krishna, Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihido Male Apashyat Purusham Purvam Mayam Jatadupa Ashrayam. That Bhakti Yogena Manasi, that his mind was filled with devotion. Bhakti for Krishna was something very special for Vedavyasa Maharshi. Vedavyasa Maharshi's heart was filled with devotion to Krishna. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihido mali apashyat purusham purvam mayam jatadubashrayam. When he meditated on Krishna, he could see Krishna there within the heart. And he was seeing Krishna very clearly. But along with Krishna, he also saw something different. Mayam cha tadubashrayam. Maya was also there, completely dependent as the shelter of Krishna. She was standing there. So Vedavyasa Maharshi could see through Maya and see Krishna. But ordinary people like us are not in a position to do that. We cannot see Krishna directly. Maya is keeping coverage in front of us. That is why, knowing this very well, Kunti Devi addressed to Krishna, mentioned to Krishna that Maya Javiniga Channam Ajnathokshajam Avyayam Nalakshase Mudadrisho Nado Natyado Yatham. Tatha Paramahamsanam. Paramahamsas, the greatest position, the highest stage of sannyasa, or one who has reached the very highest realized stage. Yatha Paramahamsanam Muninam. Muninam, one who has complete control on the mind and who are silent. Amala Alpanam, one whose consciousness is completely pure. Yadha marmahamsanam muninam amalalpanam bhaktiyoga vidhanartham katham pashemahistriyah. That Krishna has actually come to this world with one intention only. Although we may say that there was the purpose of killing the demons and also to establish religiosity in this world. More than anything else, he came here to teach the human society how to become a devotee, how to take shelter of Krishna. Bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means it's the process whereby one could surrender to Krishna. Bhakti yoga vidhanartham katham pashema histriyaham. That bhakti yoga vidhanartham, only for the sake of bhakti yoga, Krishna came to this world to explain. That was Kunti Devi's realization. No other devotee has explained this as beautiful as Kunti Devi. Therefore, Sridharajari Swamiji also gives special credit to Kunti Devi for explaining that special purpose of Krishna's descent to this world. Bhakti yoga vidhanartham katham pashema histriyaham. That even that is the case, what possibility we have being women, they have, Kunti Devi was explaining her position. That if you see in the Srimad Bhagavatam earlier, sometime in the third canto, you will also see the same approach from Devahuti Devi. Devahuti Devi, when she addressed Kapila Vasudev, also put her in the same position. So these were not ordinary women. Kunti Devi and Devahuti Devi, they were not ordinary people. They had such high realizations on the spiritual side. We also see that Nirvinna Nidaram Bhuman Asadindriya Darshanad. നിർവിന്ദനിതരാം ഭൂമൻ അസദിന്ദ്രിയ ദർശനാൽ ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് സെൻസസ് ദ വേ കർദമ പ്രജാപതി വാസ് അഡ്രസ്ഡ് ബൈ ദേവഹൂതി ദേവി ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് സോ ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ട് ടു കൺട്രോൾ ദി സെൻസസ് ആൻഡ് വി കൻ ഓൾസോ സീ ഈവൻ ഇൻ അവർ ഓൺ പ്രാക്ടിക്കൽ ലൈഫ് ദാറ്റ് കൺട്രോളിംഗ് ദ സെൻസസ് ഈസ് ദ മോസ്റ്റ് ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ട് തിങ് ദെൻ ഇൻ സ്പൈറ്റ് ഓഫ് അവർ ബെസ്റ്റ് എഫേർട്സ് നോ മാറ്റർ ഹൗ ഹാർഡ് വി ട്രൈ വി സ്റ്റിൽ ഫെയിൽ വി കനോട്ട് മേക്ക് ഇറ്റ് ബിക്കോസ് ദ സെൻസസ് ആർ സോ പവർഫുൾ And that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam it says that Chedasya ghalyam bandhaya muktaye chalpanomadam guneshu saktam bandhaya radamba pumsi muktaye That Kapila Vasudev, when she was addressing to Devahuti Devi, Devahuti Devi first asked one question to Kapila Vasudev. The question was Nirvinna nidaram bhuman asadindriya sharshanad yena sambhavyamanena prabannandham tamaprabho Question was, Nirvinna Sadarambhuman Asad Indriya Darshanal, that Indriyas, these senses, I have tried to satisfy them all through my life, and I could not satisfy them. Yena Sambhavyama Anena Prapannandham Tama Prabho, I have completely fallen into the illusion. So strongly, Prapannandham Tama Prabho, there are five kinds of hellish existence in this material world. Tamasa, മോഹം മഹാമോഹം താമിസം അന്ധതാമിശ്രം അന്ധതാമിശ്രം ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേജ് ഓഫ് എക്സിസ്റ്റൻസ് വെൻ വൺ ഹാസ് കംപ്ലീറ്റ്ലി ബിക്കം വീക്ക് ആൻഡ് ഫോളൻ ഇൻ ടു ദ കൺട്രോൾ ഓഫ് ദ സെൻസസ് ദിസ് ഈസ് കോൾഡ് അന്ധതാമിശ്രം ആൻഡ് ഇഫ് യു ഫോൾ ഇൻ ടു ദാറ്റ് പിറ്റ് ഓഫ് അന്ധതാമിശ്രം വെയർ ദർ ഈസ് നോ പോസിബിലിറ്റി ഓഫ് എസ്കേപ്പിംഗ് ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് എനി മോർ ഈവൻ ദി അഷ്ടാംഗയോഗ സിസ്റ്റം ഓൾസോ ദ ക്ലാസിഫൈ ദിസ് വെരി ഫൈവ് സിസ്റ്റംസ് ഇൻ എ ഡിഫറെന്റ് വേ Asmita, Ragam, Dvesham, Abhinivesham, in that way. So Abhinivesham or that Anandamisram, falling into Anandamisram means one who has lost complete control on the senses. In fact, we also, if we look at our own life, we can see that, how this happens. For example, if you take the example of a child, say 4 or 5 years old, when he has come to that age, previously he was not addicted to anything seriously wrong. He was virtually, he had a good life in the early days of his life. But around 5 years, one day, he saw that his father and uncle or mother and somebody, people like that at home, they were drinking coffee. And he goes to them, he was standing there and watching them drinking coffee. And if you look at them, you can see, but after some time, the father says to the mother, why don't you give the son also a little bit of the coffee to drink, to start with? So the son tastes that coffee, but he doesn't like the taste. He gives it back, saying, I don't like the taste of this coffee. Then, after a little bit persuasion, father says to the mother, maybe if you put some sugar in it, he will like it better, and gives it to him. Again, persuades him to drink coffee. So, he starts drinking coffee like that. Then, at the age of 5, it starts. This is quite common throughout this world. We can see that this coffee drinking, tea drinking is so common, and in some places something else, but it is an established fact all over the world now. Coffee drinking and tea drinking is so common that they have no difficulty to train the children in drinking that from early days itself. Anyway, he starts at the age of 5, and then it develops, and then after it becomes about, say by about 15, 20 years old, it becomes about 5 or 10 cups of coffee he can easily consume, or tea, he can consume that. Now, if you look at it, by the age of 65, suppose he has lived all through these years, from the age of 5 to age of 65, say 60 years he has been drinking coffee. And in the 60 years, if you drink, say in the day, if he has drank one liter or 2 liters of coffee in about 10 or 12 cups, if you start calculating it like that, in 60 years time, how much coffee he must have drunk in that time. If you just calculate it, you can see it could be some few cubic meters of coffee he has drunk. It's almost a lake size of coffee he has drunk. But this small lake of coffee that has gone inside, and still, in spite of all that, the senses says, no, I want more. 60 years of life he has drunk coffee, and even at the 65th year, also he is thinking, can I have some coffee? And you will see, when he gets up in the morning at 6 o'clock, if he doesn't get his coffee, how his nature changes. Immediately, how the nature of the person changes. He is not any more peaceful because he hasn't got his coffee. Now, if you take, this tongue is one of the senses, 5 senses. It's one of them. And if one sense can control us so much, what will be our situation if you take all the five senses of knowledge and all the five senses of action? In other words, what we are trying to say is that we are so much under control of the senses that without sense gratification, our normal life in this world, we find it very, very hard. And we have been so badly trained in this way that sense gratification, without sense gratification, we cannot exist in this world. It is that what is keeping us going in this world. That is what we have to realize. But Devahuti Devi was a very intelligent person. She could ask this question very nicely to Kapila Vasudev. The way she mentioned was, Nirvinna Nidaram Bhuman, I am suffered like anything. I am suffering like anything. This is the way Devahuti Devi said. Nirvinna Nidaram Bhuman. Why? Asad Indriya Darshanal. These Indriyas are Asad. And I am struggling with them. They are not allowing me to have any freedom from their control. Because they are attacking me all the time from different sides in some form or the other. Nirvinna Nidaram Bhuman. Asad Indriya Darshanal. Yena Sambhavyamanena Prabannandham. Tamaprabhom. Addressing the son, Kapila Vasudev, she said to him that Prabhannantham Tamaprabhom, that Prabhannantham, I have fallen into such a depth of ignorance, and fallen into such gross existence that there is no possibility of me escaping from this. And when Kapila Vasudev was addressed by Devahuti Devi, Kapila Vasudev understood her position. And then he, what we call in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Kapilam or Vasudev or Kapila Vasudev's instructions to Devahuti Devi. So similarly, this realization has come to Devahuti Devi, and the same realization came to Kunti Devi also. So they are not ordinary people. We may think that they are ordinary women. No, they are not ordinary women. They have such high degree of realization that only personalities who had very deep knowledge of the materialistic life and spiritual way of life, they can separate it out and see these things very clearly. So here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Maya Javaniga Channam Ajna Dhokshajamavayam Nalakshase Mudadrasho Nado Natyadaro Yadham Yadha Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalalpanam Bhakti Yoga Vidhanartham Katham Pashe Mahistriyaham. But still, Kunti Devi takes a position as a very, very humble woman. That was her attitude. That pleased Krishna very much. Because of that, Krishna saw that Kunti Devi, in spite of such an elevated realization, she always took a very humble position. Kadam pashye mahistriyam. Kunti Devi was saying to Krishna, an ordinary woman like me, what can I understand about these things? Although her realization was far higher than not an ordinary person had. Krishnaya Vasudevayam Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagova Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namam. That Krishnaya Vasudevayam, addressing Krishna as the son of Vasudev, Nandagova Kumaraya, and the boy who is looked after by Nanda Maharaj, Govindaya Namo Namam. Nama Pangajanabhaya, Nama Pangajamalini, Nama Pangajanetraya, Namaste Pangajangre. That Pangajanabhaya, Pangajamalini, that Krishna's, every part of Krishna's body, Kunti Devi was comparing to a lotus flower, because she knew that it was transcendental body. Nama Pangajanabhaya, Nama Pangajamalini, Nama Pangajanetraya, Namaste Pangajangre. Then Krishna's devotees, many, many great temples, when they worship Krishna, Krishna had some special features. Every one of them took very seriously. When Krishna performed his pastimes in Vrindavana, one of the special feature of Krishna's dress was, he always used to wear a vanamala. Vanamala means a garland made of forest flowers. Krishna was very fond of that. And he used to wear this garland in such a way, it used to touch his feet. It was so long, these two garlands, which was made for Krishna by the cowherd boys. They used to make such garlands for Krishna and dress Krishna nicely. And they used to look at Krishna's beauty and enjoy that. This was their happiness. So such was the attachment of the cowherd boys in Vrindavana
they dressed Krishna with Vanamala. We will see in the Bhagavatam this word Vanamala is also mentioned in few instances. Surya Spardigirinam Urdhadilagam Prolbhasi Bhalandara Karunyakulam Netram Ardrahasidolasam Sunasapudam Gandodhin Magarapa Kundalayugam Kandhojulal Kaustubam Tudrubam Vanamala Harapadalam Shrivalsadi Prambhajem. That Krishna's that particular appearance, dressed up in this matter, Surya Spardigiridam, that he was wearing a crown, exactly like full of, brilliant like a sun. Surya Spardigiridam, Urdhvadilagam, that Vaishnava tilak on his forehead. Prolbhasi Bhalandaram Karunyakulam. Krishna had something very special to look at everybody. In the Kali Yuga, it is said that Krishna doesn't use any weapons to get people into surrender. He has two things in his hands to make people to surrender. Karunyakula netram. The people are coming to Krishna because when they suffer in this material world, an intelligent person surrenders to Krishna. He sees Krishna is the only shelter in this world. There is no other shelter. Anybody takes to any other shelter is simply hovering on a mental platform. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam it says, Karunyakula netram. That Krishna's eyes are full of mercy. He's smiling at you. You are going to him with all your miseries and Krishna is looking at us and smiling at us. So sometimes we think, why should Krishna smile at us? Well, it looks us a little bit, but that is the way Krishna makes us to surrender. That beautiful smile of Krishna is so powerful. Karunyakula netram ardrahasitolasam sunasapudam gandodhyan magaraba kundalayugam. One is that merciful eyes and the other one is that beautiful smile. These are the two weapons Krishna uses in this age of Kali to make the people to surrender. He doesn't need to use any weapons because people when they see Krishna's beautiful smile, they fall there immediately. Same way, when they see Krishna's merciful looks from his beautiful eyes, also people surrender unto him. This has been confirmed by the devotees. So, Tudrubam Vanamalyahara Padalam Shri Valsadi Prambhajem. That he wears his Vanamala, which is made of forest flowers, and devotees find great satisfaction in seeing Krishna wearing this forest flower garland. And there are other instances also, it is mentioned there. Keshapashadrada Pinjika Vitati Sanjalan Magara Kundalam Harajala Vanamalika Lalida Mangaraga Ghana Saurabham Pida Chela Drada Kanji Kanjida Mudanjadam Shumani Nupuram Rasa Keli Paribhushidam Tavahi Rupamisha Kalayamahe. Krishna, when he was dressing himself for the Rasa dance with the gopis, that time he was wearing the forest flowers garland. That was another instance when the devotees, when they saw Krishna, they dressed up Krishna. They dressed him separately in a separate hut where the gopis have gone to one hut and they were dressing there. And Krishna was dressing Keshapashadrida Pinjika Vitati Sanjalan Magara Kundalam Harajala Vanamalika Lalida Mangaraga Ghana Saurabham. That Vanamala was worn at that time also, Krishna was wearing. This was another occasion Krishna wore the Vanamala. So this Vanamala has some special significance that Krishna likes that forest flowers. And especially in Vrindavana, we see in that song also, Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari means one who is always playing in the forest of Vrindavana. That Krishna liked these forest flowers and the garland made from forest flowers. So, in another instance, Ulsarpal Kaustubha Shri Tadivirarunidam Komalam Kandhadesham Vaksha Shri Valsaramyam Taraladara Samuddhi Prahara Pradhanam Nana Varna Prasunavali Kisalayanim Vanyamalam Vilolallolam Balambamanam Urasidavadadha Bhavaye Ratnamalam. That different flowers, Nana Varna Prasunavali, different kinds of flowers the cowherd boys used to collect in the forest. And they used to make such beautiful garlands to decorate Krishna. And particularly, Sridhama was the specialist in this. He has taken such a great effort to learn how to decorate Krishna with the forest flowers. And every time when Sridhama decorated Krishna with the forest flowers, all the devotees used to clap their hands and enjoy the beauty of Krishna, looking at him again and again. Because this is the greatest beauty that one could see in this planet. There is no other higher than that, the truth, what you could see, the absolute truth sitting in front of us, fully decorated with the forest flowers. Ulsarpal Kaustubha Shri Tadibhirarunidam കോമളം കണ്ഠദേശം വക്ഷശ്രീവത്സരമ്യം തരളതരസമുദ്ദി പ്രഹാരപ്രദാനം നാനാവർണ പ്രസൂനാവലി കിസലയനിം വന്യമാലം വിലോലല്ലോലം ബാലംബമാനാമുരസി തവ തഥാഭാവയേ രത്നമാലം. ഓൾ ദി ഗ്രേറ്റ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് വെൻ ദേ പ്രേ ടു കൃഷ്ണ ദേ ഡിഡ്ന്റ് വാണ്ട് ടു സീ കൃഷ്ണ dressed up in the modern style. That was not their attraction. The natural attraction for Krishna was when Krishna was dressing in the natural form. Because Krishna's beauty increases millions of times when Krishna is dressed up in the natural style, in the forest, in the Vrindavana forest, when he was decorated. That was his beautiful form. And many devotees also have fallen into that. And Krishna joked with devotees about this in many instances. How he was decorated. Vilumangal particularly enjoyed this, teasing Krishna every second, and Krishna teasing Vilumangal also at the same time. Vilumangal once saw Krishna. One day he got up, went to the Bharada River. Bharada River, the name came to Bharada River because there was a Brahmana by name Bharada Bhattashri. Bharada Bhattashri used to read Mahabharata and walk along the banks of this river back and forth. That was his happiness. He just enjoyed walking along that river. Because in that particular river, Krishna and the Pandavas came at a later date after the Kurukshetra war and performed certain ritualistic ceremonies for those people who got killed in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So the five Pandavas and Krishna came to this Bharada river and they performed the ceremonies there for the Lupta Pindodaga Kriya, Pindagam Udaga Kriya, and all these were performed there. And because of that, that river became very holy. And in the banks of this river, Bharata Bhattashri used to walk around reading Mahabharata. And that was his happiness because every time he read Mahabharata, he was feeling ecstasy of remembering Krishna. Vilumangal actually spent a lot of time on the banks of this river, on this Bharata river. So one day morning, Vilumangal got up, bathed in the river and came and sat underneath a banyan tree on the banks of this river. Them days, there were not so many people. It was full of, the land was not so busy, I mean, people are very, very few. And as a sannyasi, he was also accustomed to living a life of full renunciation. And not only he was a sannyasi, he was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, who gave him that special mercy to become the devotee of Krishna. That vilu means viluvatram, the leaf vilum. That is what, like tulsi leaf is used for worshipping Krishna, we also use the vilu leaf for worshipping Lord Shiva. So Vilumangal belonged to that family of Shaiva Brahmanas who worship Lord Shiva. But due to the special mercy of Lord Shiva, he attained the special position of Krishna's devotee. So anyway, Vilumangal sat there after the morning bathing everything. Krishna arrived on the scene to visit the Swamiji. So when Krishna arrived at the scene, Vilumangal started reciting Karnamrita verses to him. And in one of the verses, when Vilumangal addressed Krishna, he addressed Krishna in this particular way. Atyanda balam, atyanda balavabalam, kalaya prasunam. That kalaya pushpam, kalaya means it's a special type of flower, a bluish kind of flower, which in the particular season, in the spring season, that tree covers with these bluish flowers. And Krishna's color, bodily color, is very much close to that color of that flower. And Vilumangal compared, and then in the next line he mentioned to him, Digvasasam Kanagabhushana Bhushitangam. That Digvasasam, no clothes in the body. Kanagabhushana Bhushitangam. That whole body was covered with fully jewels and different golden chains and everything to look more attractive. Digvasasam Kanagabhushana Bhushitangam. That is the way Vilumangal addressed to Krishna. Krishna got up. Krishna was sitting and listening to Vilumangal when he was reciting these verses. Krishna got up from there and sent to Vilumangal, Swamiji, you don't know anything actually. He said to him, you don't know anything. You are just ignorant, he said to Vilumangal. Vilumangal said to Krishna, I am ignorant, I understand. But what is your problem, he said to Krishna. Krishna said, look, can you imagine anybody, no clothes on the body, but you are wearing all the other ornaments and jewelry and everything. Is that possible? Vilumangal said, wait a second, I want to tell you something, he said. He said to Krishna, normal cases, it is unusual. It doesn't happen. Because first of all, you put the clothes on, then you put the jewelry on. But you don't put just the jewelry on and stand around without any clothes on. Apparently at that age, Krishna was 2 years old, as it is the experience of many mothers will know it better, that in India still they dress the children with kaupin. Kaupin means the brahmachari underwear as it is called in Ishkan. So this brahmachari underwear in Sanskrit is called as kaupinam. Kaupinam is used by the mothers when they are small to dress them. That's the only dress they put on and they wander around. But after some time, they find suffocation even wearing that. So they start complaining to the mother, I want to take it off. I want to wander around without any clothes because they are so used to it. And mothers normally let them have it for some time, but still they would like to cover them and they use this kaupin. So in this particular instance, Digvasasam Kanaga Bhushana Bhushidangam, that he addressed to Krishna and said to him that you have made a mistake. Can you imagine if somebody could appear in a prison with all the jewelry and in a four-handed form, he can also dress like this. I don't see any illogic in that. This was the Vilumangal's reply to Krishna. Krishna said, oh yeah, that is possible. If it is like that, if you think that I could appear in the prison with four hands and at the same time I could fully dressed up as a big personality and then suddenly take the boy form of a boy, it is also possible that I could, without any clothes, I can put jewelry and walk around. And that was the way Krishna was convinced by Vilumangal's logic, and he didn't argue anymore. He walked out of the place. Swamiji said goodbye and walked away from there. Digvasasam kanagabu ushana bhushidangam and Krishnam namami manasa vasudeva sunam. Vilumangal used to meditate all these different forms of Krishna's childhood pastimes. Every second it is going through Vilumangal's mind one after the other. His consciousness was Vrindavana, sitting in Vrindavana and watching how Krishna was playing around in Nanda Maharaj's house, how Yashodamayi was punishing Krishna and chastising Krishna and looking after Krishna at the same time, and how Krishna gave the happiness and pleasure to all the cowherd women in Vrindavana. This special information we get from the devotee's diary. So, Vilumangal's diary is Krishna Kanamata, and there he explained this, that Digvasasam Kanagabhushana Bhushidangam, that Kanagabhushana Bhushidangam, that wearing completely golden jewelry, Krishna was standing there and he had no clothes on. And this was the image where Vilumangal has drawn the picture of for the devotees to see how Krishna's childhood activities were. Anyway, after that incident, so Vilumangal drew this picture of Krishna, and in another instance he also had to say, Vadane Navanita Gandavaham. Another incident where Vilumangal had a special pastime with Krishna. Vadane Navanita Gandavaham, that Vadane Taskara Chadurinam, that Navanita Gandavaham, Navanita means butter. That butter, because of eating so much butter, Krishna was always smelling butter. The mouth was full of butter, the body was all smeared with butter, and he was walking around in that mood. And every gopis in the Vrindavana used to enjoy Krishna watching, wandering around in this fashion. Vadane navanita gandavaham, vadane taskara chaduri dhurinam, taskara chaduri dhurinam. Continuously he was telling lies to everybody, because to get butter he had to do this. If somebody gave butter directly to Krishna, Krishna was not getting any happiness out of it. His happiness was stealing and eating the butter. That was Krishna's way of operating in Vrindavana. Vadane taskara chaduri dhurinam nayane kuhana ashramashrayedha nayane kuhana, and in the eyes it was always shedding tears looking for mercy or looking for kindness from other gopis. That is the way Krishna acted. Vadane navanita gandavaham vadane taskara chaturi dhurinam nayane kuhanashrum ashrayetha charane komala tandavam kumaram. Vilumangal caught him at that point. He said to Krishna, why are you shedding these tears? You are telling me that you are crying because your others are giving you so much trouble, all the gopis in Vrindavana. Krishna started crying more, because children have this nature. When you catch them, and when you start asking, they start crying more to get your more attention from you. They start showing. This is quite common with the children. So Krishna was not different. Krishna was acting in the same way. Vadane navanita gandavaham, the smell of butter was already there. Vadane taskara chaduri dhurinam. Vilumangal asked him, are you not trying to fool me by your lies, what you are trying to tell me? Why? because charane komalatandavam kumaram, that komalatandavam, nobody will cry and at the same time dance with the feet. That is not possible. It cannot happen. It is not usual that somebody is dancing and at the same time crying as well. So Vilamangala asked Krishna, how is that possible that you are doing two of these things together? Certainly this is not a proper cry out of sorrow, but it is a different cry of cry to mislead others. And this way Vilamangala said to Krishna. Krishna accepted Vilamangala's comment and walked away from the scene again. So this was their relationship. Vilamangala and Krishna, each other reacted in this way, and they carried on their lifetime in this way. So anyway, Kunti Devi, at this point in time, we have to remember that Nama Pangajana Bhaya, Nama Pangajamalini, Nama Pangajane Traya, Namaste Pangajangraye. That Kunti Devi was seeing Krishna, the lotus feet, the lotus eyes, and everything, relationship with the lotus flower, she worshipped Krishna. And eventually, at the moment, Vibada Sandudas Shashwa, Tatra Tatra Jagal Guru, Bhavado Darshanam, Yasyal Apunar Bhavadarshanam. Vipada Sandudas Shashwal, Tatra Tatra Jagal Guru. Then, addressing Krishna as Jagat Guru, Kunti Devi prayed to Krishna, please send me as much miseries as possible. And when Krishna was climbing to the chariot, Kunti Devi approached Krishna and told him, please don't go, stay back with us. Because if you go away, so many other miseries will come. Duryodhan Maharaj was giving so much trouble. Duryodhan Maharaj and Dushasan and the Kauravas were giving so much trouble to them, that trouble to Pandavas and Kunti Devi, that Kunti Devi realized that if Krishna goes away, they will be put into extreme difficulties. Therefore, she used this word, Vipada Sanduda Shashwan Tatra Datra Jagal Guru Bhavado Darshanam Yasyal Apunar Bhavadarshanam. Then, at the very next moment, Kunti Devi said to Krishna, Bhavado Darshanam Yasyal, if I somehow or the other, I am able to see you all the time, Apunar Bhavadarshanam. Bhava means repeated birth and death. That Bhavadarshanam, I don't have to see that repeated birth and death again, if I am able to see you all the time. This was Kunti Devi's prayer to Krishna. So Krishna thought for a while before getting into the chariot and decided to stay back after hearing Kunti Devi's prayers. Vipada sanduda shashwal tatra tatra jagal guru apuro bhavanam darsha bhavana apunar bhavadarshanam. That if I am able to see you all the time, I have no fear of dealing with the Kauravas. But otherwise, all the Kauravas were giving so much trouble, starting from Duryodhana to the Pandavas, and they wanted to finish them up in this world, a Pandavayam. That was their intention. And knowing well, Kunti Devi was trying to protect the Pandavas with the help with Krishna's blessings, and that is how they were protected. But when these things have happened, suddenly Kunti Devi's mind went back into the Yadavas, or the Vrishni dynasty, Vrishni members, or Krishna's family in Dwarakapuri. In Dwarakapuri, Krishna's presence was very much required, because Jarasandha and so many other kings were trying to attack Dwaraka and give as much trouble to the Yadavas as possible. And Yadavas were related by blood to Kunti Devi. So Kunti Devi could not ask Krishna to stay back. So he also told Krishna that you must go back to Dwaraka and look after them as well, because not only us. This is the way Kunti Devi prayed to Krishna. So, in the next verse, Kunti Devi addressed Krishna in this way. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karmavi shravana smarana arhani karishyan nidike janam. Bhavesmin klishyamananam, one who has caught up in this material world. Why? Avidya kama karmabhi. This word kama karmabhi in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find in the prayers of many, many devotees. This kama karmabhi is the greatest problem what every living entity experiences in this world. Why? Because our activities in this material world are fruitive activities. And fruitive activities are binding to this world. There is no possibility of releasing from this conditioned existence. Avidya kama karmabhi. Bhishma Pitamaha also in his prayers, he repeats the same word again, kama karmabhi. So, bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karmabhi shravanasmarana arhani karishyannidike janam. That that one somehow or the other, if one can chant the glories of Krishna, hear the glories of Krishna, and immediately he gets released from the results of these fruitive activities. That fruitive activities binds us to this material world. And that is the way we are being created. It is by the process of creation that our activities in this material world are meant to bind us. There is no escape from that. There is no escape from that. In the Bhagavadam, in the third canto, the process of creation is explained very beautifully by Lord Brahma to Narada Muni. In that process, there is one verse where it says, Rajodika karma para dukheja sukhamaninam. The nature of everybody in this world, Brahmadev, Lord Brahma, compiled in one line. Rajodika. Rajodika means the mode of passion is predominating than the other two modes. That is the way Brahma has created the human society. No other species of life has been created in this particular way. Rajodika. Always rajas, mode of passion is predominating in us. In human society, we can particularly see this. That why we want to be active all the time, doing something. If we cannot do it, we do not feel satisfaction in this world. Because we are so much convinced that our activities are keeping this world going. Rajodhikam, karma para. Karma para means so much entangled in karma. So much activities, always engaged in materialistic activities. Karma para. And more beautiful than all these things is dukheja sukhamaninaha. That dukham, misery, we will think is happiness. This is the way Brahma has created us. We can see that in human society, in spite of so much misery is what we experience in this world, still we are looking for happiness. We will still look for happiness because that is the way the human species is created. Rajodika karma para dukheja sukhamaninaha. That dukheja sukhamanina. Although it is dukham, we will see it as sukham. That is the beauty of that. Brahma's special creation of human society, it is said in the Bhagavadam that there were three bottles. One bottle was sattugunam, the white paint. The other one was the red paint. And the third one was the black paint. These three bottles. And like a painter who takes different colors and mixes together, he took one drop from the sattugunam, one drop from the tamogunam. But when he came to the rajogunam, he took two drops from there and mixed it. And because two drops of rajogunam has mixed with one drop of sattugunam and one drop of tamogunam, the human society have this special nature. Rajodhika karma para dukheja sukhamaninam. That always rajas. Rajogunam, when it gets stronger, that we engage in so many activities in this material world which has no significance at all. Because Maya is engaging us in so many things and the mode of passion or rajas gets so stronger that we cannot escape from that. That becomes a part of us. And what else happens? All these rajas activities or activities in the mood of passion eventually creates only miseries, nothing else. We see that. Even big advanced industrialist countries also, it is the rajogunam that is working there. It is this strong rajogunam that is coming through in the form of industry, technology and everything. Eventually it causes destruction as well. Rajodika karma para and then dukheja sukhamanina. That we can see dukham as sukham. Somehow or the other, that's the way our consciousness is created. We cannot see sukham as sukham and dukham as dukham. Whereas we will see sukham as dukham. or dukham as sukham. Rajodika karma para dukheja sukhamanina. When Lord Brahma spoke this to Narada Muni, Narada Muni understood. And it was at that time that Brahmadev prayed to Krishna that If I engage in the process of creation, am I not going to be bound by that? And Krishna answered, yes, you will be bound by that. If you engage in the process of creation, you will be bound by that. And then Brahma asked Krishna that if I am going to be bound, how am I going to escape from that bondage? Krishna gave the Chadushloki Bhagavadam or the four verses of Bhagavadam to Brahma at that point to escape from the material world. And that is how Lord Brahma escaped the miseries of creation by reciting the four verses of Srimad Bhagavadam, which he later on instructed to Narada Muni. In this world, we also engage in the process of creation. We start creation, but we don't think whether the miseries of what I am creating is going to come back to me later. That realization we don't have. We create without any knowledge. We don't think that if I create something. Because Brahma asked Krishna this very intelligent question. The question was, if I create these children, all these different species of life, will they not be my children? Krishna said, yes, they will be your children. If it is so, whatever happiness and distress they are experiencing, will that not affect me as well? Krishna said, yes, it will affect you. But in this world also, householder's position is the same, like Brahma. We go into householder life, we engage in householder activities, and then we enjoy and suffer exactly like Lord Brahma said, that when the member of the householder or the family suffers or enjoys, accordingly the householder is also suffering or enjoying. This is quite common. So that is why Lord Brahma said that if you engage, and to Narada Muni, while instructing the four verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, he said to Narada Muni, while going into material world, take the Srimad Bhagavatam in your hands and then go ahead. Then you will not get attached. Exactly like some vegetables, when you are cutting them while cooking, some of the vegetables have got this tendency that they stick to your hand. So, particularly some fruits and some vegetables. And in certain instances, what they normally do, the cook, they put some oil on the hand so that it doesn't get stuck to the hand. So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam is that oil which covers the living entity from being attacked by Maya. And if Maya doesn't have to influence a person, Lord Brahma gave the instruction to Narada Muni to take Srimad Bhagavatam. And Narada Muni gave the same instruction to every other living entity. And that is why he brought the Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, and later on through Maharaj Parikshit to the entire planet. And that is how this has happened. So Krishna got into the chariot and was trying to go back. So one time Kunti Devi was telling Krishna to stay back, and the next instant Kunti Devi was asking Krishna to move to Dwarakapuri. So this way back and forth it started, and then suddenly the realization hit Kunti Devi's consciousness, and she prayed to Krishna in a totally different way. Atha vishvesha vishvalpman vishvamurte svakeshume sneha vashamimam bhindi chindi dridam pandushu vrishnishum. That vishvesha vishvalpman, addressing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can do me only one favor. Kunti Devi was asking Krishna, what was that? Sneha vashamimam chindi. At the moment, I have attachment to Pandavas because they are my children. I think like that. And because of bodily attachment, I have that attachment. On the other hand, sneha pashamimam chindi dridam pandushu vrishnishu. Vrishnishu means all the people in Dwaraka who are also related to Kunti Devi. So on the one hand, I am related to the people who live in Dwaraka. On the other hand, I am related to the Pandavas. Both these attachments are actually binding me to this material world. Please break that attachment to these two different people, one to the Pandavas and sneha bhashamimam chindi. If you can break that attachment, then I am freed from this material life. This was the prayer Kunti Devi had to Krishna. Kunti Devi was such a surrendered soul that she fell down at Krishna's feet and recited these verses. Krishna understood and sent to Kunti Devi at that point, a day will come when your attachment to Pandavas will go, when your attachment to the Yadavas will also go away. Exactly as it is mentioned in this verse, sneha bhashamimam chindi dridam pandushu vrishnishu. This sneha bhasham, this rope of attachment, what we have in this material world to other living entity, is actually the cause of our reason to stay in this world. When the great sannyasis and the sages, they went to the forest and attached themselves to Krishna's lotus feet to free themselves from this connection in this world. Sneha pashamimam chindi dridam pandushu vrishnishu. And in this one particular prayer, which Kunti Devi addressed to Krishna, actually pleased Krishna so much that Krishna gave that special benediction to Kunti Devi, that she will be able to break away from this connection both to the Pandavas and to the Yadavas, which exactly happened at a later date before the Pandavas went to the Mahaprasthanam, and at that time Kunti Devi accompanied Dhritarashtra Maharaj to the forest, and along with Dhritarashtra Maharaj also Kunti Devi gave up her body, and which we see in the Mahabharata later. So Srimad Bhagavatam, in these prayers of Kunti Devi, there are so many important instructions which Vedavyasa Maharshi gives us. And after this incident that Kunti Devi's prayers to Krishna, that Shri Krishna Krishna, Shri Krishna Vrishni Saka Ushabhava Nidrukrajanya Vamshadahanan Apavargavirya Govinda Godvija Surati Haravatara Yogeshwara Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. That was the last verse of the 26 verses. When Kunti Devi reciting this verse, she fell down at Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna lifted her, embraced her, and promised Kunti Devi that never again she will experience the miseries of this world. And that was a guarantee given by Krishna. Kunti Devi carried on in this world because there was no, Pandavas had no father, Pandu was gone. And Dhritarashtra Maharaja and also Duryodhana Maharaja and others were giving them so much trouble that they could not even maintain a normal life in this planet. It was so miserable for them at that time, but Krishna still protected them in all circumstances. It was after that, Kunti Devi's prayers, that Krishna put Maharaj Yudhishthir into an illusion. And that illusion happened in this way, that after some time, Yudhishthira Maharaj started feeling that Krishna was the cause of all the miseries. This thought came to his mind. And this was a very incident that actually made Yudhishthira Maharaj to think that he has been requesting Krishna to finish the war by negotiations, not getting into any fighting. But on the other hand, Krishna created such a huge battle that over 6 million people got killed in that battle. Prabhupada writes that it's more than 6.4 million people got killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. So after that battle, Yudhishthira Maharaj got scared of the fear that attacked him. Papa Bhiti, it's called the fear from the killing of so many people. That Yudhishthira Maharaj started addressing Krishna. And slowly it started as a mumbling inside. But later on it came out in the whole family. Arjuna and Bhima and others were trying to check Yudhishthira Maharaj from making such statement anymore. But Krishna wouldn't. Krishna was hearing all these things and he was actually feeling compassion for Yudhishthira Maharaj because he was a devotee. And he decided it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam as Yudhishthira Vishada Yoga. Vishada means that sadness, what has affected Yudhishthira Maharaj. And that was actually causing the difficulty for Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj complained to everybody about Krishna's, Krishna was the cause of the whole problem. That he has created this war, he has killed so many people, and now he has put me in an awkward situation. What's the need for me to become a king? And exactly like Arjuna was lamenting in the battlefield, Yudhishthira was also lamenting at that time. But Krishna at that time decided to call Yudhishthira Maharaj away from the scene and address him exactly like he did with Arjuna. But that didn't work. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that it was a special plan by Krishna alone. He could have actually moved Yudhishthira Maharaj out of that situation. But he kept him in that because he wanted to glorify another great devotee who was lying in the bed of arrows. It was the 58th day after the battle that Bhishma Pitamaha was lying there, ready to leave this world, but was waiting for only one thing, for the arrival of this Supreme Personality of Godhead to him. Bhakta Vishyamano Yasmin Vajayan Namakirtayan Tijan Kalebharam Yogi Muchyade Kama Karma Bhim. That Srimad Bhagavatam says that Bhakta Vishyamano, the way Bhishma Pitamaha was lying on the bed of arrows was like this. He was praying to Krishna, please come. It is my time to leave this world. If you don't come, I cannot. Because he was a Swachandamrityu. Swachandamrityu means he had the special freedom to choose what time to leave this world. And he had seen enough by then. Pandavas were also aware that Bhishma Pitamaha was in a precarious situation. So he prayed to Krishna, Bhakta Veshyamano Yasmin Vajayan Namakirtayan Tejan Kaleparam Yogi Muchyade Kama Karma Bhi. That it is the first verse what Bhishma Pitamaha referred to Krishna. When a devotee wants to leave this world, Vajayan Namakirtayan, if he can simply chant the holy name of Krishna, somehow or the other glorify Krishna at the time of leaving this world. Vajayan Namakirtayan Tejan Kaleparam Yogi. If he is able to give up this body in that fashion, Muchyade Kama Karma Bhim. That all the Kama Karma Bhim, all our activities, what we have performed in this material world, is simply wiped out at that point. Even if we have done so many activities which have bound us to this material world, at that point, if by the mercy of Krishna, somehow or the other, if we are able to chant Hare Krishna, at the time of death, immediately we are released from all our past activities. And that's a guarantee Bhishma Dev gives in the beginning, even before he started glorifying Krishna. And then in the next verse, he said, Sadeva Devo Bhagavan Pradikshadam Kalevaram Yavadidam Hinomyaham Prasannahasaruna Lochano Lasal Mukhambujam Dhyanapata Chadurbhujaha. That Sadeva Devo Bhagavan Pradikshadam, I am lying here waiting for you to come. This was the way Bhishma Pitamaha was reciting these verses. Vedavyasa Maharshi draw this picture of Bhishma Pitamaha at the time before Krishna and the Pandavas arrived on the scene. Sadeva Devo, God of Gods, Lord of Lords, Krishna, Bhagavan Pradikshadam Kalebaram Yavadidam Hinomyaham. That when I am leaving this body, please come in front of me. This was the only prayer Bhishma had for Krishna. That please come in front of me at the time of my leave this body. Because as a great personality, he was one of the Vasus, Bhishma. And he knew, Ashtavasukal, one of the Ashtavasu he was, that he knew that somehow or the other, if I can see Krishna at the time of leaving this body, I am back in the spiritual world. And this much he was confident. So he prayed, Sadeva Devo Bhagavan Pradikshadam Kalebaram Yavadidam Hinomiham Prasanna Hasaruna Lojano Lasal Mukhambujam Dhyanapada Chadurbhujaha. That Chadurbhuja, 400 form of Krishna, he was meditating at that point. Because he was used to seeing Vishnu before. Narayana form he was worshipping. Prasanna Hasarunam, but that beautiful smile, Lojana Lolasal Mukhambujam, that beautiful face of Krishna, Dhyanapada, meditating on that, Chadurbhujaha, that 400 form. In that way, Bhishma Dev was praying, and it was at that point that along with the Pandavas, Krishna walked onto the scene. And that is where the glorification of Bhishma Pitamaha begins in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we will do it in another day. Glories to Srila Prabhupada.